Next, we'll hear from the internal committee chairs with their respective judicial council presentations. First, we'll hear from Judge Ken So on the Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee.
Thank you, Chief. The Policy Committee has not met since the last council meeting when we reported that PCLC reviewed and adopted recommendations on legislative priorities and proposals for council-sponsored legislation. The priorities and legislative proposals are all on today's agenda. The legislature reconvened on December 1st for the swearing-in of newly elected members. They will reconvene the first week of January for the first year of the 2014-2015 session. We will update the council in future meetings as legislation is introduced, positions are taken, and council-sponsored legislation moves through this process. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Soam. Next, Justice Doug Miller from Executive and Planning Committee.
Thank you, Chief. My regular report will be posted online. Yesterday, Executive and Planning met with the chairs of two important and influential advisory committees, the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and the Court Executives Advisory Committee. They are both ably served by Judge Marcia Slough and CEO Mary Beth Todd. The purpose of our meeting is to review the annual agendas. I just want to note that this process was one of the reforms instituted by the Judicial Council approximately 2 years ago. That reform was inspired by the Strategic Evaluation Committee's recommendation. And again, thanks to Judge Walkup and Judge McCabe and Judge Ellsworth for those recommendations. This new reform with regards to the annual agenda was to improve Judicial Council oversight of the many and important advisory committees. In the past, Judicial Council members often had little idea about what the advisory committees were working on until it arrived here at the Judicial Council meeting, and we even didn't know sometimes who the various committees were reporting to. We changed that. We now review all the advisory committees, we streamlined the advisory committees, and made sure that every single committee reports either to an internal committee on the Judicial Council or to the Administrative Director. We also instituted more detailed and significant annual reviews of each committee, where they tell us the work that they do, the work that they've accomplished, and what committees they would like to form in the future. Also, it should be noted that all of this is done, the annual review process, in an open public meeting. It's a simple reform that provides proper oversight and governance. It ensures that all the components of our judicial branch are marching in the same direction as it taps into the creativity and energy occurring throughout the branch with over 400 individuals from the branch working on the different advisory committees. In reviewing the work of the Presiding Judges and Court Executives Committee, I was especially pleased to hear Judge Slough and Mary Beth Todd suggest creating small subcommittees to serve as resources for other committees, such as court facilities and technology. They noted that other advisory committees often ask for input on their percolating recommendations from the presiding judges and the court executives. These two new subcommittees can serve as touch points for the presiding judges, the court execs, and the judicial council. It's a way to increase broad-based early input as well to make sure committees don't work at cross purposes. Finally, in light of some of the public comments we heard at our last meeting and that we will likely hear again today, I was also pleased to see that the Trial Court Presiding Judge Advisory Committee updated its publication on, quote, making judicial assignments. The publication highlighted the importance of making appropriate assignments for these difficult, complex, and emotional family law matters and for providing appropriate resources for family courts. I also spent some time speaking with representatives from CJR to make sure, based on some of the comments we heard, that they were incorporating those into the CJR training for judicial officers who serve in the family law assignments. Also, in the interest of providing Judicial Council members written comments that we receive from the public, those written comments are now being distributed electronically directly to Judicial Council members. Written comments received will not be posted to the website, and that is because this is consistent with the practice of other public entities. But the Judicial Council members will have those public written comments available for them for review after each Judicial Council meeting. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Next, we'll hear from Justice Harry Hull from Rules and Projects.
Yes, Chief, thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Rules and Projects Committee has met twice by telephone and once in person since the Judicial Council meetings of October 27th and 28th. In particular, on November 5th, RuPro met by telephone to review four proposals, three of which had circulated for comment, and one that makes minor revisions to civil jury instructions. I should note that as to this latter proposal regarding the civil jury instructions, that the Council has delegated to RuPro the authority to approve those minor revisions if they were satisfactory to RuPro. One of the proposals that we discussed on November the 5th was referred back to the Proponent Advisory Committee, having to do with subordinate judicial officers for further consideration. RuPro recommends to the Council approval of the other two, which are items A1 and A3 on today's consent agenda. RuPro approved the minor revisions of the civil jury instructions. On November the 20th, RuPro met jointly with the Executive Planning Committee by telephone to consider public comments on a proposal to amend the rules for several advisory committees. RuPro recommends approval of this proposal, which is item 5 on the consent agenda this morning. RuPro also considered the uniform bail and penalty schedules and two forms proposals, which RuPro recommends for approval of these three proposals, which are items A2, A4, and R on today's consent agenda. Finally, RuPro met in person day before yesterday, December the 10th, to consider rules and forms proposals to circulate for public comment during the winter cycle. RuPro approved the proposals to circulate for public comment, and after circulation and further review by RuPro and the advisory committees, we expect these proposals to come before the Council at the April business meeting. At that same meeting on December the 10th, RuPro considered and approved the 2015 annual agendas of the 8 advisory committees that it oversees, and I would like to note for those of you who have been involved in putting together or considering the annual agendas of various advisory committees, you appreciate and know all of the work that goes into that, both by the committee chair, the committee members, and particularly the committee staff. And in that regard, we approved the annual agenda for the Advisory Committee on Civil Jury Instructions, chaired by Judge Martin Tangeman, one of our members on the council, and staffed by Mr. Bruce Greenlee. The Advisory Committee on Criminal Jury Instructions, chaired by the Honorable Sandy Kriegler and staffed by Ms. Robin Seeley. The Appellate Advisory Committee, chaired by Justice Icola, who chairs it, and staffed by Ms. Heather Anderson. The Civil and Small Claims Advisory Committee, chaired by Judge Patricia Lucas and staffed by Ms. Ann Ronan. The Criminal Law Advisory Committee, chaired by Justice Tricia Ann Bigelow and staffed by Mr. Arturo Castro. The Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee, chaired by Judge Carolyn Borak and co-chaired by Judge Mark Juhas and staffed by Ms. Julie Weber and Ms. Audrey Fancy. The Probate and Mental Health Advisory Committee, chaired by the Honorable John H. Sugiyama and staffed by Mr. Douglas C. Miller. And finally, the Traffic Advisory Committee, chaired by the Honorable Mark Burrell and staffed by Mr. Courtney Tucker. I would like to say on behalf of RuPro, that meeting went very well. The agendas, the proposed annual agendas, were extremely well done, and we were very pleased to approve each and every one of them. That is my report on behalf of RuPro, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Holm. Next, we'll hear from Judge James Herman from our Technology Committee.
Thank you very much, Chief. Since the October meeting, JCTC has had two open meetings, one being telephonic and the other yesterday an in-person meeting. In addition, Vice Chair Judge Diabla participated in the October 31st Core Technology Advisory Committee meeting, and I participated in the December 5th Core Technology Advisory Committee meeting. At both meetings, we provided updates on the work of JCTC, the coming or upcoming change to the rule of court as part of the recommendations from the Court Technology Governance and Strategic Plan Workstream, the project that was approved by the Council finally in October at the October meeting, and we also discussed the state-level data exchanges and justice partners interfaces work stream. I can't even begin to pronounce the acronym, and give a little bit of detail on that a little bit later in my report. In addition, for the benefit of the new members to CTAC, I outlined the history, charge, and role of the JCTC as well as its relationship to CTAC. As chair of JCTC, I have participated in periodic meetings on the status of our progress toward the remediation of the deficiencies identified in the judicial branch procurement information systems audit by the California State Auditor, with a report back to them due December 19th. The council will recall that that's the audit in terms of data security at both the branch level and also an audit of a number of trial courts on the same issue. And I'll report more in detail on that status at the January meeting. I've also participated in discussions between members of CTAC and the Language Access Advisory Committee on the Remote Video Interpreting Project. At the November 10th meeting, the JCTC received updates on the Court Technology Advisory Committee, including the current and upcoming work and activities and the information technology budget. And of course, just following up on Justice Miller's report, JCTC reviews the CTAC annual plan as well as any additions to that annual plan, which includes the work stream I just talked about. And yesterday morning, the JCTC held a face-to-face meeting. David Yamasaki, former member of JCTC and, of course, of the Judicial Council, and now a member of CTAC, provided an update on the data exchanges and justice partners interfaces. And in terms of the kind of restructure of the way CTAC approaches certain projects, they become a workstream project with a so-called executive sponsor, in this case, Mr. Yamasaki, to sort of oversee the project and then bring in outside assistance from subject matter experts and from the trial courts to make sure that we're, again, working from the ground up on various projects. And this is the first. We've used work streams at the JCTC level for the last 2 years, but this is the first one that fits within our new governance structure. And it's a critical project because we've got 25 courts that are either in deployment or deployed for one case management vendor, and we've got three other courts on two other case management vendors, as well as five courts on a fourth vendor that are all moving towards a digital court. And it's critical that we get our 13 state justice partners to the table with our courts, our trial courts, and the vendors to work out standards, both administrative and technological, in terms of data exchange. So this work stream approach aligns with the approved technology governance structure. Other updates were provided on the IMF budget, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, recommendation that was approved by the council that the committee develop a plan to eventually eliminate subsidies to courts, the V3 courts and the sustained justice additions courts that are hosted through the tech center. And I might add, we will get, I've been working closely with the subcommittee of trial court budget advisory that's looking at the IMF fund to make recommendations about how pressures on that fund can be reduced, including the 50% of that fund that supports technology projects for the trial courts. Finally, as chair, I've met regularly with the trial court budget advisor on that particular project. So that wraps up my report, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Herman.